What's up, y'all? My name is Ian Edwards, and welcome to the Soccer Comic Rant. If you're listening to this, you're probably listening to it at allthingscomedy.com, iTunes, SoundCloud, Libsyn, Stitcher, maybe Google. Who knows? I still don't know or remember all the places where this thing is. I know it's not on my website because I haven't set my website back up. But I'll get on that. Been promising that for only a year. Still within the same year, I can still make it happen. How y'all doing, man? Like to give a shout out to our sponsor, onthevolleyapparel.com. And if you go to onthevolleyapparel.com, you will see that they have a variety of tanks, hoodies, t-shirts, and sweatshirts for men and women with hip-hop soccer logos on them. They're fly. I'm sure I got to talk to Elvis. I haven't spoken to him in a minute, but he'll probably have some newer stuff out for the Christmas holiday. So go there, go get laced, use my promo code ComicRant, get 20% off. It's Black Cyber Monday right now, not Black Monday, Cyber Monday. But yeah, go get some Christmas gifts for yourselves and for your loved ones. All right, and let's get into the podcast. I'm doing it solo, and yeah, let's see what's going on in the Premiership week 13. Is it week 13? Yeah, week 13. And I'm going to start at the top of the table, and of course, at the top of the table, running things, running through people, slicing and dicing them up is Man City. I mean, what they are doing to people is bananas. I'm looking and I see five W's in a row, all green lights. They're just going through traffic and they put it to West Ham, who West Ham came out very offensive. They try to fight fire with fire. I don't know if this is the new style of West Ham or is it Pellegrini? Taking, playing Man City, his old team, who he won a premiership with some of the players on that team still on the field, personal, and say, I'm going to go at these people. And But Pellegrini, who's the new coach of West Ham, took over. And, he got torched. He got torched, but they put up a good fight. And you know what? If you go at Man City, you can get opportunities. But when you get these opportunities, you got to score. I'm going to look at the stat from this game because I think there was a stat. Let me go to stats where even though Man City had the ball for 69.3% of the time, West Ham got 9 shots. Now, only one of them was on target, but, Man City's just a better team. Just a better team. Like, here's the problem with West Ham. So West Ham has Arnautovic. Let me go to West Ham's lineup. Go to their lineup. And some disgusting things happen in this game. And they were minor disgusting things. They're just huge disgusting things to me because it shows the difference. Like, I'm watching this Man City team coached by Pep. They won the league by a record 100 points last year, right? And they have injuries and they put in Delph, you know, and they have a bunch of players who won the league before Pep got there. And Pep came there, brought some new players, and they all just listen to Pep and they play hard for each other and it's a team effort. These attackers like Sterling, Sergio Aguero, like I saw Sergio Aguero like in the midfield tackling, Raheem tackling, Leroy Sané running back to get the ball, taking it from people after he lost it. No standing around, like just an all-in effort. Fabian Delph doing his thing, you know. Fernandinho doing his thing. David Silva scoring and creating and doing his thing. All the defenders, Kyle Walker, like people with names, people that play for their countries and, you know, and they're just busting their ass as if they've never won anything. And then you look at goddamn fucking Marko Arnautović, and he passes the ball to his teammate. His teammate doesn't get to it. And Arnautović throws his arms up in the air like, oh, man, you messed up. That pass was a perfectly weighted, beautiful pass. It's like it was a cake he just baked in the oven for his teammate's birthday, and he didn't cut the cake, and he's just upset like a mom that their kid didn't want to eat the cake. Hey, man, put your fucking arms down. Turn around, and the guy who intercepted the pass is about to run by you with the ball. Stop him and get the fucking ball back, and stop trying to get credit for a package that wasn't completely delivered. Like, do something. And that's a major difference between Man City and other teams. It's like, these players, Pep has these guys kind of scared and loyal, but determined at the same time. They're determined to prove their worth, right? They're afraid to show any give up and disappoint their coach. And they're loyal to each other, and they work hard for each other all over the field. And it's like, if you're West Ham, you think you're just going to come to this game and not give it your all? These guys won the league last year. This ain't no surprise. So you can't just be out here like throwing your arms up. I didn't see one Man City player throw their arms up, and they're the champs. And then you have a bunch of throw your arms up type players on West Ham, like Chicharito. Like, he came in the game in the 50 something minute, but I've seen him throw his arms up in games and try to Pellegrini, you got to get some people that want to play like all out. Like, this would have worked probably against another team the way they came out this week. So, you know, I give Pellegrini a chance to keep this team in the league. I definitely give him a chance, but you got to start getting rid of the people that don't want to work hard, put them on the bench, and just play the people that's going to bust their ass, and you'll get more out of this team, because it's a shitty attitude for these players to have against like a world-class team, potential Champions League champs. You're playing them. Like, come on. And Sterling again, man. Just involved in everything. He crossed the first pass that got deflected to David Silva. He put that in the net. Sterling called, scored 19 minutes later on a pass from Sané. And then Sterling returned the favor to Sané. And it's just, you know, all cylinders are firing over at Man City. Like, whoever their mechanics are, looking under the hood, checking everything. Everything's at full speed. It's like a NASA launch over there. They got the top shelf team. Top shelf mechanics. Everything's working. Skill-wise, speed-wise, pace, tackling, precision, cohesion, all everything. Everything. So, yeah. Man City at the top of the table. Next week, they play Bournemouth. Bournemouth, you're in trouble because you're playing Man City number one. You're playing at Man City. You just lost to Arsenal. I think that's like your third or second loss in a row. I'll check when I get down the table. But yeah. And this Man City team, like I said, they're afraid of Pep, loyal to Pep, and each player is determined to prove their worth. That means they play 110,000% in each game. No slacking, no throwing your arms up. Going for it. Bournemouth plays hard too. So it should be a good game. And they go for it too. So they'll work harder than West Ham did. And they have better attitude. It's the thing. It's like Man City has an attitude, man. They have this attitude like, we are not resting on our laurels. Great attitude. Bournemouth has some of that attitude too. So let's see whose attitude bends first. Man City also has a midweek Champions League game, so hopefully that might play in Bournemouth's favor. Number two at the table, 33 points, 2 points behind Man City, is Liverpool. And Liverpool is all green except for one draw that they had against Arsenal. So in their last five games, they had 4 wins, 1 draw, and they beat Watford. And Watford put a fight up and had a good system and ready to counter-strike. De La Fuente was out there running. Troy Deeney was out there. Capoue was in the midfield doing his thing. But it just, you know, just it's a war of attrition, man. It's a war of attrition with Liverpool, a bunch of ruthless, relentless players. Like, Liverpool, man, if you win the ball from them, they'll seal you in. They'll give you no way out if you win the ball from them in your half. They just, like, lock it up. It's like the airport has been shut down and all flights are grounded, like 9/11. Like, good luck trying to get out of there. I don't know. You got to know somebody to get out of there. And Liverpool players don't know nobody. And they seal it up and they'll take the ball back and then go back on attack. And Watford played a great game. It was entertaining. And I like De La Fuente, man. Like, I liked him when he was at Barca. And then when they took him off and put on Success, that's when De La Fuente, Success played on the side of the field where the first goal was scored. So I didn't see him around defending when Liverpool came raiding down the left side with Mane to Salah for the first goal. From Wijnaldum to Mane to Salah, or was it Firmino? But yeah, man, this, you know, when the way I just described Man City is the same way I describe Liverpool. Like, determination, loyalty to each other, and I don't think they fear Klopp. The only different ingredient is like a love for Klopp, you know, a love for Klopp. They play hard out of a love for Klopp, determination. They appreciate the belief that he's given them, and that's where their attitude comes from, and what they did last year in the Champions League, and they know how they beat Man City last year like 3 times. So they're like, we can get this team. We're gonna get wins. We're gonna stay on their tail and see if they wither. And then this is, you know, at least a 2-horse race. Some other changes. This is at least a 2-horse race. Some other teams were eliminated this week after football, after week 13. Man U's definitely one of them. Alexander Trent Arnold, great free kick for second goal. Kid, 20-year-old fucking England kid, man. Future bright ahead of him. His future is brighter than a California summer. Man, 20 years old, free kicks, playing on the national team, like long crosses, passes. It's like having a midfielder play in one of your back positions. Speed, hustle. Man, it's great. Fucking fantastic. Wijnaldum, Dutch master. Like, when it's all said and done, is Jorginho Wijnaldum ever going to get the credit for how good he really is? He's turning into a special player right in front of our eyes. There's so many good players. He's one of the number one people in midfield that starts. And he's playing for his country and Dutch football. Netherlands football is coming back. And he's a part of that resurgence. And Jordan Henderson, hey man, like, Jordan Henderson, I loved him. I still, listen, I just don't think he's the best he's not the smartest guy in the world. Like, he got sent off in this game. And he got sent off in this game. The first card he got, either they both should have got a card or the ref should have just called it nothing, because the only thing success did when he got on the field was get Henderson in trouble. And he grabbed Henderson's shirts first and kind of stiff-armed him, and Henderson just grabbed onto him to kind of stay up with him. Success goes down. Henderson gets the card. But and then he did the other foul that got them sent off, and he knew, at least he was smart enough to know, yeah, I'm out. But he just does some doofus type of things on the field sometimes. I just don't think he's the smartest player. He's got a great engine, but he's not the smartest player. Robertson played his part in one of the goals. Shaqiri balled out, did his thing. Salah is on 7 goals now. So, you know, Firmino scored. So, you know, the boys are back. The Liverpool boys are back. They're doing what they did last year. And Watford, you know, during the game, the commentator was like, they're 2 points ahead of where they were last year. But it was in December last year where they kind of fell apart. So let's see. They started the season balls out. I think it was 4-0. Now they got some losses. And let's see what Watford is going to be by the end of December. Great spirit. Pereira kind of went missing because he scored some goals for them. Didn't really see him this game. Hughes. And I guess the thing I was trying to say about De La Foya coming out the goal and success coming in for him is, like, when you're a coach and you make a substitution and that player comes in who substituted and he scores, you get credit for it. Now, when you sub out a player, when you have a tie, it's 0-0, and then your team loses, you should also get the credit for that loss. Because maybe that's not the substitution. De La Foya was balling. He didn't look tired to me. So I don't know why they took him out. 57 minutes in. Guy that was causing so much trouble in the first half. The second half has just started. You took him out. No comprende. That's a little confusing to me. But hey, I'm no Premier League coach. Tottenham Hotspur. 4 wins in their last 4. 5. 4 wins. They beat. This is a real win. At Wembley. They handle Chelsea. They handle them. And they got the first goal early. And, man. Let me see. There's something I want to say about this month. Tottenham 3, Chelsea 1. And now Tottenham are number 3. They have 30 points. They're only 5 behind the leaders, Man City, 3 behind Liverpool. They're number 3. That's pretty fucking good. That's pretty good. Like, they went to they took the points from Chelsea. You know, normally Chelsea can beat a Tottenham team, but it was a different attitude. And maybe Chelsea was a little tired. They just sometimes the international break can help you or it can hurt you. It helped the Spurs, and it definitely didn't help Chelsea. And Spurs, man, just. A lot of effort, pressuring the ball, and their players showed up in the moments, you know. Eriksen with his cross for Dele Alli to put the first header in, 8 minutes in. Harry Kane's shot, like There's players on Spurs playing hard. And then there's players on Chelsea, David Luiz, not playing hard, stepping out of the way of shots. Like, he's like, let me move my balls out of the way of Harry Kane's knock the tip off my dick shot. Like, listen, if you, listen, the referee, if you put your hands on your crotch and face the ball, the referee's not going to call out a handball. So you don't have to jump out of the way of the of a shot. That's like one of the biggest no-nos. This ain't dodgeball. You're supposed to block that shit. You're supposed to put your life on the line, David Luiz. And then on the Son Heung-min goal, Jesus Christ. Like, in that goal, that Son Min goal was a Hazard goal. Like, Chelsea got to feel what it's like to face Hazard. Like, Son Min got that ball and went down the sideline, froze, stopped, started, and just took on Jorginho and just drove, put it in third gear, drove past him, then chopped it on David Luiz and his haircut. It cut him better than his barber. And then switched feet and then put that past the goalkeeper. And stunning fucking goal. Stunning fucking goal. And they bring on Giroud, Chelsea does, and they get like a consolation goal later. But yeah. Tottenham just did their thing. What does this mean? It means that we got a lot of really good teams in this league. And there's going to be teams changing positions all season. And we just got to keep watching this thing to see where it ends up. Chelsea's fourth now because they dropped points. And it's the first defeat for Chelsea all year. And yeah, they're fourth. They have 28 points. And now they're, what are they? Seven behind Man City. They got Fulham next week. That's a London derby. But and who's the Fulham? Ranieri. So they got to play Ranieri after he's won with Fulham's first win. And it's going to be at Chelsea. So I'm just going to say, Chelsea, you have to win that one. You can win it and you have to win it. And it's at home. So against Claudio Ranieri's Fulham team, and we'll get to that Fulham team a little later. Arsenal, they are fifth. They have 27 points. They're 1 point behind Chelsea, and they took on Bournemouth. They had three draws in a row, one against Wolves, one against Liverpool. That's understandable. Crystal Palace, yeah, you know, and yeah, and so they beat Bournemouth 2-1 in a game that last year Arsenal probably wouldn't have won. But yeah, they gritting stuff out. And they went up 1-0 on their own goal. The defender for Bournemouth just, what was his name? His name is Lamar, I think. Let me see. Arsenal. Where are you? Here you go. Lamar. Or Lerma. Yeah, Lerma. Lerma scored. Own goal, 30th minute. Just, I don't know what he was doing. I had no idea. He definitely beat his keeper for the near post. Just such a own goal out of nowhere. Like some own goals, like you have no clue, wasn't your fault. This one is like, come on, man. Sometimes just don't do anything. Just stand in the way. He didn't want the ball to cross through the penalty area and try to reach it, and just heel poked it in to the back of the net. Just a goal out of nowhere. But then at the end of the half, right before the whistle, Joshua King, who's played for England during the international break and scored, gets one back one time. Great movement by Frazier and a bunch of the players on the Bournemouth team. That, like I said, they can move the ball. They got skill. They can attack. And they went down the field. It was all fire. The all fire drill team. It's like, let's get out of this burning school. And everybody put the ball in the back of the net. And then, Arsenal, man, showing that grit that they didn't have on the winger. And speaking of grit that they didn't have on the winger, Emery was asked why he didn't start Ozil. He was dressed. He was fit. He played Mkhitaryan instead. And he said he felt that Arsenal needed to be more physical against this team. So that's why Ozil was on the bench. He's their highest paid player. And they put him on the bench. It's like, I'm not saying he doesn't have full confidence on him, but he feels like there's certain games where Ozil will be less effective because of the physicality of the other team. Now, if even the team that Ozil will be effective against, you just tip them off to let them know, if Ozil plays in the game, just get physical against them. And this has been a knock on Ozil. Even Mourinho, when Ozil was at Real Madrid, he told Ozil, it made Ozil cry. That's how soft Ozil's been. Mourinho told him, teased him about his fancy passing and told him, hey man, you got to be defensive. So, you know, Arsenal is soft and they're trying to get tough. And a good sign of getting tough is telling a playmaker like Ozil, hey man, you're sitting on the bench. That sends a message to like the entire squad to get tough. Because we'll sit our highest paid player. So who's got assists and who has goals? We'll sit him. So if he's not tough enough, so that means it makes other guys like, I got to play tough. I can't just be aesthetically good looking out there with my passes. And I got to run when I don't have the ball. And you also need the team to feel this way because of the league that we're in. I just told you how Man City plays. I just told you how Liverpool played. I just told you how Spurs beat Chelsea by just putting bodies on them and just manning them up and just going hard on them. This is the league now. It's skill. It used to be a league of just like hustle, whoever hustle. It wasn't, you know, not everybody was skill, but now you need skill and grit. And Arsenal's been developing that over the last few games. So Arsenal's going to be good, but it's just tough because they're in a league where teams are ahead of them as far as this. So they might not have enough to win the league this season. Aubameyang scored the winning goal for them. So he's just a good buy. Like, I'm going to look at Aubameyang's... let me go to him. This guy, Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang. 8 goals this season in 13 games. And 2 of those games, he was subbed. Scores wherever he goes. Last year, he played 13 goals for them, had 10 goals. So in 26 games for Arsenal in the Premier League, he's had 18 goals. So goodbye from Gabon. Bournemouth, you got a rough next week because you got to play Man City. So good luck with that. Arsenal, next week you have a London Derby appointment with Spurs at the Emirates. And wow, I feel bad for Spurs. They got to play, they just played Chelsea. They got to play Champions League. And then they got to play Arsenal. Arsenal has a great chance to win this next week at Arsenal, at the Emirates, against Spurs, cross town, one stop away from each other, rivals on the train. So, and Arsenal got this new grit. This Spurs team might come in a little tired. They might. They might come in a little tired. So, because I think they have to win their Champions League game to, or at least get something out of it to stay in it. So, whew. I'm going to put my money on Arsenal. Everton is number 6 with 22 points. And they're doing what they should be doing. You know, they beat Cardiff 1-0 on an Eriksen goal. And Sigurdsson. Let me make sure. I think it's Sigurdsson. I get Sigurdsson and Eriksen mix up. They're similar style players to me. Let me go back. Make sure. Everton. Cardiff. Sigurdsson. They bought this guy last year. Wasn't that great. But this year, he's really coming into his own in that blue uniform. And getting assists and goals. Let me see how much he's got for them this year. He's played 13 games, got 6 goals. Paying off. Last year, 27 games, 4 goals. This year, 13 games, 6 goals. Definitely a step up. Playmaker. Goal creator. And goal scorer. So, yeah. All right, Sigurdsson. And Everton is above Man United by 1 point. Man U 7th. Man, we are 14 points off first place. Jesus Christ. We are 6 points away from 5th place. 7 points away from a Champions League spot. We're just drifting in space, just floating like a detached pod, just getting further and further away from Earth with no thrusters. I mean, what are we doing out here? We've had 2 draws, 2 wins, and 1 loss in our last 5 games. And this week, we drawed against Crystal Palace. And I was on my way back from Big Bear. You know, I was out there for the Thanksgiving holiday. Hope everybody had a happy Thanksgiving. I think I forgot to wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving on the last podcast. So sorry about that. But yeah, we're out there. We're lost in space. We're going to land on the Planet of the Apes. Like, you got to beat Crystal Palace. There's just no excuse. I don't care what type of game they have that week. You just got to beat them. And I didn't watch this game because I had 2 people from England tell me it was crap and it's not worth watching. They said, watch it if you want to fall asleep. And when I got home, I had a choice of games to watch. And I watched Man City, I watched Liverpool, I watched Tottenham, Chelsea, I watched Arsenal. I didn't even watch my own team's game. You hear 0-0. I seen I just took the advice of people who are trying to save me time. And I saw the highlights. And yeah, man, you just got to win this game. No excuses. Can't be floating behind Everton. This is one of those 3 points that's kind of a give me. Crystal Palace is number 16 in the table. It's seventh. You got to take it. The only reason why we're above Bournemouth, because Bournemouth, who's got 20 points and they're eighth, they lost to Arsenal. Watford is in ninth. Like I said, they lost to Liverpool 3-0. Leicester, they had a draw against Brighton Hove. And let me see. I just want to be clear about the match points of this game. So Everton beat Cardiff, Brighton Hove, Leicester. And what happened? Yes. Glenn Murray scored his 100th goal for Brighton Hove in this game. In the 15th minute, gave them the lead. And James Maddison for Leicester got his second yellow for diving after he'd fouled earlier and got a yellow for fouling Brighton Hove player. So then with 20 minutes left in the game, Leicester's down a man. But they give him their credit, down a man. They fought Brighton Hove and earned a penalty in the 79th minute. And who else? James Vardy put that shit away. And game ended 1-1. So Leicester still fighting, man. They got their spirit, fighting for their chairman. Maddison, you're a good player, but can't be diving, bro. It's cheating. Just diving in the box. Just kicking out his leg the way that you can't be practicing your diving more than how you practice scoring and taking free kicks and trapping. I feel like some players are better at that. Like Morata has been practicing his diving more than anything else. And Morata for Chelsea. Like, work on trying to score in practice instead of ways to try to steal a penalty. So, yeah. Brighton Hove, yeah. Good fight, good point against Leicester. The numbers went in your favor as far as man advantage. You didn't get the win, but you got a point, and that's good. That's good. That's how you stay in the league, chipping away, getting points here and there. And then, so Leicester is 10th in the league. Well, Watford's is 9th with 20 points. Leicester's 10th with 18 points. And they beat Brighton Hove, who is 2 behind them. Before that, it's Wolves. They got 16 points. They lose to Huddersfield. And 2 Moy goals. That was surprising. I would expect Wolves. And that's the thing. It's a tough league, man. All these teams, like Wolves, Brighton Hove, Newcastle, West Ham, Huddersfield, Crystal Palace, and I'm going to have to include Burnley, they're all going to be interchangeable with each other. Like, some weeks, some going to be better than others and beat each other and back and forth. So, yeah. So, Wolverhampton, shocking, surprising loss at home to Huddersfield. Even though Huddersfield been in the league, I just seen the way the Wolves play ball, the quality of their players, and I just expected them to do more. And their success against better teams in Huddersfield drove me to believe that they could beat Huddersfield. But Huddersfield can't, you know, just that doesn't mean shit. Not the Huddersfield. No, they got those points. So Wolverhampton Wanderers is 11th with 16 points. Brighton Hove tied with Leicester. They are 12th. with 15 points. After them is Newcastle. Newcastle had 3 wins in a row. When the fuck did this happen? An international break makes you forget everything. Newcastle beat Watford 1-0. Then they beat Bournemouth 2-1. And now they beat Burnley, who, what the fuck is going on at Burnley? Last year, I was like, Sam Dyche. I would have preferred Sam Dyche to be the coach of England over Gareth Southgate. And I think everybody in the country would have too. Even Gareth Southgate would have been like, hey, give Sam Dyche a job. I don't know what's going on with Sam Dyche's team right now. Burnley's like hovering above the relegation zone. They're like a seal on top of the water waiting for one of those teams below them to bite them like a shark. Their legs are kicking in the water. Burnley, this time last year, Burnley was like high up in the table. And we're like, they're going to fall. And they stayed up there. Now, this is. But let me just finish giving Newcastle their props. They got 12 points. And they did it great. In their last 5 games, they had a loss, a draw, and then 3 wins. 3 wins. They've got more points in their last 3 games than Man U did. Man U got 4 points out of their last 3 games. And Newcastle has gotten 9 points out of their last 3 games. Shit, they might pass us soon. I'm sure they're going to have more troubles and more ups and downs, but they're getting the points that are putting them in the right direction. And Benitez should be able to coach this team above the relegation zone by the end of the season. But should he stay? Probably not. He can get another job somewhere. He probably doesn't want to lose. I think his contract is running out anyway. I can't remember if he signed it or not. If anybody remembers if Benitez signed this new contract, let me know. Should leave anyway. He can get a coaching job. West Ham, valiant effort, but they got filleted by Man City 4-0. Like I said at the beginning of the podcast, and you just need quality. You had some chances. Only one of them was on goal. You guys panicked a little bit. I guess you got in your head who you were playing. But if you come out this aggressive, if it's this Pellegrini style, I mean, some of your players like couldn't play or keep pace with Man City, like Zamaleta and just Anderson. It wasn't Anderson, Masuaku, who's one of my favorite West Ham players. I think he's one of their best players. You know, like Sterling just gave him a tough game, got around him 2 times, and he was in the vicinity of the problem areas with at least 2 of Man City's goals, and he got subbed out. But let's see. You play Newcastle next week. You're right behind them. So let's see what this style is going to be. What is going to be West Ham's real style? Are they going to go at Newcastle the way they went and try to go mano a mano at Man City? I'm interested. Let me know. I'll check it out. Huddersfield, they're 15th. They had a win against Wolves. Good win. Didn't expect you to win. You handled your business. So, you know, these are teams, man. They just grit it and grind it out. They don't have a lot of firepower. And they get goals somewhere, somehow. They just play hoping there's going to be a goal from somewhere. They play to not let you score and to somehow get a goal. Like, yeah, they can make plans to score, but they know we don't really have the people to go follow through with those plans. But it's football, so maybe somebody will score. You know, so that's, I feel like that's Huddersfield plan. It's like, it's below budget football. So whatever happens, it's going to happen. We just going to make sure we defend and then try to score. Crystal Palace. And this is another reason, man, you should have beat Crystal Palace. Crystal Palace is in 16th place. They have 9 points. 9 fucking points. Beat these guys. Don't give them that. One of those points is ours. They had one loss. They had 3 losses and 2 draws, including the one this weekend. You got to beat Man City. I mean, Man City, you got to beat Crystal Palace. Crystal Palace plays Burnley, who is right behind them in the table next week. So Burnley's number 17, right? They have 9 points too. So which Burnley's going to show up next week? If you go by finances, Crystal Palace should beat Burnley. Their players cost more. I'll go with Crystal Palace. I'm disbelieving in Burnley this year until they show me something different. Even though this game is at Burnley, I don't know what's going on. No idea. So, we'll see. Now, underwater, in a relegation zone, nose barely above the water, coughing out water out of their lungs, is Southampton, who played a really good game against Fulham, and there's just some quality goals in this game. Some amazing goals, like goals that made me think, who are these players doing this? Like, where are these amazing quality goals coming from these two teams? Mitrovic had 2. Schürrle had 1. For Fulham. What is Schürrle doing on Fulham anyway? Did he just, out of desperation, wanted to come back to the Premier League? So he just, you know, Andrew Schürrle scored the winning goal in the World Cup. He's on Fulham. It's crazy. Just came from Germany. You were in a good team in Germany. Decent. Came to Fulham? Like, how good is the Premiership? How much? People must think a lot of the Premiership. Let me see how old Andre Schürrle is. He's 28. He's not that old. It's almost like he's at Fulham auditioning to get to a better team in the Premiership. Like, you can't be in German football and be like, you know what? I always wanted to play for Fulham in London, a London club. Stuart Armstrong scored 2 goals for Southampton, but it was not enough. You needed a third, bro. It lost 3-2. And Fulham dumps Southampton. And Lee, sorry again, man. Came up short. Great effort, though. Southampton next week, they play Man United. Man United beat Southampton. Do what you're supposed to do, or else, I don't know. Midweek, we have a Champions League game against Young Boys. I'm going to go through that, see if we're home or away. And, yeah. Like, as far as Man U is concerned, Mourinho, this is his last season. The only way Mourinho could keep his job is if he wins Champions League, and that is pretty much impossible. But if anybody can make some crazy shit happen, it is Mourinho. That's the only reason why he's not fired. I don't think we should fire him. We should keep him for as long as we're in Champions League. That's what we should do, just in case he pulls off some crazy shit. But he's not going to win the league. If he wins the FA Cup, like, who gives a fuck? I don't even know if we're still in the FA Cup or I think we got kicked out of the League Cup. So I think we're still in the FA Cup, I think. Somebody correct me if I'm wrong. But so we only have 1 major trophy to pay for, the Champions League. And that's harder to win than R than our league. So let's just say we're out of that, but you keep them until we're not in it. So get that fluidity going amongst the players. Beat Young Boys. I think it's Young Boys. Who are we playing? Yeah, Young Boys. And beat Southampton next week. Cardiff, they're in 19th. My cousin's team lost to Everton, only 1-0. But you don't get any points for losing only by a little. So you're 19th, you got 8 points. Still, 8 points, you're within reach of, you can get to, you know, you win next week, everybody above you, yeah, it's easy to get out of the relegation zone with a win, even for the bottom team, Fulham. Like, a win gets you out of there. The whole, like, this is not that far. Like, so Fulham has 8 points, Cardiff has 8 points, Southampton has 8 points. They're all in the relegation zone. Two teams above them have 9 points. Then one team has 10 points. Huddersfield, you can get out of this. Like, if you get 3 points, you get 11 points, you're out of the relegation zone because you can leapfrog possibly three teams, plus three teams above you and the two teams who are in there with you. So this is not bad. This is not dire straits yet, you know? Chelsea plays Fulham next week. That's a London derby. This is the three derby weekend, and I'm just going to put my money on Chelsea. So Fulham's not probably leap jumping anyone next week. So, all right. I'm just going to do some Champions League right quick. And for Champions League, games coming up. So I'm just dealing with the games that are hot. Roma versus Real Madrid. Real Madrid lost like 3-0 to Eibar this weekend. I don't know what's going on there. Some of the players are old. They've been there for a minute. They lost Ronaldo. They sold him. Let me see where they are in La Liga. Let me put in La Liga. Where are they down to now? La Liga table. God damn. They're not even in the top five. Real Madrid. Sevilla's number one. Barcelona's number two. 1 point behind Sevilla. Atletico Madrid is number three. Alves, Espanyol. Real Madrid, they're six. So, as bad as a season as Real Madrid is having, they're in sixth place, and they're only 6 points behind Sevilla, who's top. So, that's two games worth of points. So, still in this. But, Roma, you can beat them. Man City plays Lyon. If they win, they're in the knockout stages. Man United play Young Boys. If they win, they're in the knockout stages. Man United, the first game against Young Boys, I think Young Boys played you hard, but Man United capitalized on their opportunities and won that game. But that game was not an easy game. And so this is not a give me for Man United. Juventus versus Valencia. You got to put your money on Juventus. Where is Valencia in La Liga? Where is Valencia? They're 11th in La Liga. So Juventus can take that. Bayern versus Benfica. Put my money on Bayern. Even though, shit. On Wednesday, great game. PSG versus Liverpool. Liverpool won the first one. PSG, again, does not play total football. Liverpool's forwards will score and defend. They want it more. It's the attitude. And PSG, they have firepower all over the place. But those guys do not help their midfield. And it was kind of outrageous of them to just play Liverpool in the style that they played them without attacking, defending from their front three. Their front three is like pretty boys. So now Liverpool's going up to PSG. I'm just putting my money on Liverpool. Even though Liverpool, man, it was a hard game against Watford. But they're just grittier. They just want it more. They're just fearless. So I'll go Liverpool. Even though PSG is just like a, they can go off like a string of firecrackers on you. Barcelona versus PSV. Go for Barcelona. Inter versus Tottenham. Tottenham. Whew, tough position on that one on Wednesday. We'll see. And that's just some of the Champions League games. Okay. Just to wrap this up, so if you want to send me a message on Instagram, and I'm at Ian Edwards Comic on Instagram or on Twitter. Thank you all for listening. I just announced last week that I have a special that I'm going to be taping at the Long Beach. I'm going to be taping a special in Long Beach for Comedy Central. It's a Bill Burr Presents special. He's going to present it. He's producing it. His company, allthingscomedy.com, which is also an Al Magical. It's also the site where my podcast is on. And it's been great working with them podcast wise. And now to take that relationship to the next level and do this Comedy Central special. If you want tickets, email SarahMelloComedic.com. No, if you want tickets, go to my Instagram, IanEdwardsComedian.com, and the link is in my bio. So let me say that again, because I think I said it wrong. If you want tickets, and they're free, we're just trying to pack the place. Burr's going to perform. Brody Stevens is going to do warm-up, and I'm going to tape my special. It's a great venue. It's dope. And I have something special, kind of theme for this thing. And so come down if you're in California area, December 11th to the Beverly O'Neill Theater. Now I'm on Instagram at Ian Edwards Comic, and the link is in my bio. Email the people at that link and they'll get your tickets. All right. Two shows, 7:30 and 9:30. And thank you all for listening. I love you. Keep listening. And we'll see what's up next week. Enjoy more football. Hope you all had a happy Thanksgiving. I did. Went to Big Bear and hung out up in the mountains above the clouds. Good fresh ass air. All right. One.